Time, the silent herald of life and death, success or failure. The unseen force that measures man's destiny, reaching its most fateful moment as it slowly strikes the 11th hour.
Well, hopefully we've been keeping this place up. Might catch all those times here in the pit when there wasn't enough to go round. Can we ever get the rest of me? I'm going to call it.
Oh.
Shall you lock it?
Quite sure, thank you.
Where are you going, love?
Garnet.
Wow, I don't know. All the way. She's got a couple of cameras. My name's Della. Good book.
I haven't had a chance to find out yet.
Oh, I don't go much for reading. Except for the Sunday paper.
Do you know Scarnet?
No. But some of you there. Never heard of it before. What's your name?
Miriam Bingham.
Mary?
Not anymore.
Me neither. Not for the fruitcake here?
No, thank you. I'm not hungry.
What do you do? Run off and leave you?
Bella, I would like to read.
Oh, sorry, lass.
I don't mean to hurt your feelings, I just...
Oh, don't be sorry. It's a pleasure, that's all. But the flat and carriage, nothing else to do but talk. You ever notice that?
What?
Suitcase. Come, it's not dark currants, but I haven't got any taste. Oh, all right, dearie, all right. You read the book. I'll just look out the window. Oh, there's a big castle over there.
Paul Genning Castle.
Pardon, love?
Paul Genning, that's its name.
Ah, Paul Genning. What's it called?
Paul Genning.
No, love,
the book. It's a murder story. Agatha Christie.
Who done it?
I'm trying to find out.
Tell me when you know, won't you?
Sake, old boy, can't you put it off? What? No. Well, he's taking all the fun out of it. Or is that another time? Oh, don't be a half-wit. It's taking me the devil's own job to get audience to agree this time. What? Oh, well, you know what women are. They get the oddest notions. And, hey! Hey, what's wrong with this? Can you hear this buzzing, Tony? Oh, Tony, are you... Oh, good blazes with it. Hello! Hello! Oh, hello, Scarnet Exchange. This is Scarnet 9895. I was through to London. You must have cut me off. What? Well, there was this buzzing on the line and... all right, yes. I always make a point of cutting myself off when I'm talking to a friend. Stupid idiotic female.
What are you scowling for? Don't tell me the idea's paused, Mickey.
Yeah, I'm going to write to the Postmaster General about that fool of a woman. Every time I'm through to London, I get cut off.
Oh, is that all? Who are you ringing?
Tony Carruthers. He can't make it.
What a pity. Now you won't be able to show off your harem, will you?
Well, if you were so much against me asking them down, why did you agree?
Dear Mickey, you've talked about nothing else for months past. I parted with my first two wives on a most friendly basis. Why don't we ask them down, Iris, dear? I'd like to see how life's treated them.
Well, I would.
Mickey, darling, there's something I want to tell you before they get here.
Mm.
Of course you party, friends, just as we will eventually.
Oh, don't be absurd.
I mean it. You can't hate someone as boneheaded as you are. How many more do you think there'll be?
More?
Why?
Well, that's a fine thing to ask, I must say.
Perhaps you'll ask me down in a few years just to see how life treated me. Hmm?
Well, I love you, Iris, you know that.
You don't love anyone but yourself. It took all of 3 months of marriage to you to find that out. After 3 years of it, I realized just how much your mother must have loved you.
What does that mean?
Well, she did. She coddled you and fussed over you and tried to be mother and father all rolled into one, and it succeeded in being neither. The kindest thing she ever did for you was to die and leave your fortune.
Well, you haven't exactly objected to spending it.
I'm sure the others didn't either. Just as they haven't objected to spending their alimony. And that's why they parted with you on a friendly basis, just as I shall, because they could afford to. If you hadn't a penny, Mickey, dearest, neither Bella nor Miriam would even have answered this invitation.
Well, whatever she was, Bella was not money hungry.
I'm sure she wasn't.
And Miriam was a fine woman. We just didn't understand each other, that's all.
Really? When you were married to Miriam, did you ever ask Bella down?
They never met. Bella and I were finished before I ever met Miriam. So I don't know. Why do you always have to take the fun out of everything? First Tony not coming down, now you carrying on. I wish I'd never had the idea in the first place.
So do I.
Oh, all right, meet them at the station and tell them it's all off.
That's what I meant about your mother. She wasn't able to make a man out of you, so she died leaving enough money to cover up the fact. Go down to the station and tell them it's all off, Iris. No, Mickey Danvers, I shan't. They're coming now and we'll go through with it. A cozy little evening with all your wives, past and present. Salt in Danvers of Scarner's Cottage.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Don't worry, darling. I shan't let them see what I really think of you. I'll be all affection.
Ah. Hello. Yes, that's right. I was talking. Ah, I get you, Tony. There's an idiot of a woman on the switch. Cut us off. She was... hello? Hello? Oh, well, for Pete's sake.
If I'd been listening in, I'd have done just the same thing.
Oh, the infernal... Well, that does it. I'm going to write the Postmaster General this minute.
Love. This thermos kit is real hot.
Mm.
It's hot, you see?
No, I don't want anything, thank you.
Come along now. I like change, don't you? Let's just smoke that like that past the window with these diesels.
No, it's not. Obviously, I'm not going to find out.
If you want to know why I got into this compartment?
I saw you on the station, if that's what you mean.
I recognized you.
Oh.
You knew I was, didn't you?
Yes.
After I met him, I was sitting a picture in the papers. Mr. and Mrs. Danvers at the races. All over the place. Making a globetrotters, weren't you?
After I married him, I found some old photographs of you.
What are the coarse ones? Oh, nice.
If you knew who I was, why did you want to know if I was married? Why did you ask him my name?
Oh, it's a conversation, that's all. After all, we've got something in common.
We have.
Yes. Mickey.
I prefer not to talk about Mickey.
Oh, well, I don't. How did it feel like you? Why are you making the trip then?
I haven't seen his third wife.
He's always doing such silly things. I always thought of him like a little boy.
With an oddly precocious mind, perhaps.
Precocious? What's that?
In his case, unpleasant.
Let's see that. I was married to him for a year and a half. Then you were married for nearly 4 years. And this one's lasted since then. Oh, you must be getting on now, Mickey.
I wonder what she's like.
Who?
Iris.
Iris? That's the name, is it?
Bella, do you still feel anything for him?
Me? Of course not now.
If he asked you, would you try again?
Oh, he's not likely to. Beneath him, I was. That's why I married you, I thought.
What do you mean?
You would accept him. An archdeacon thought of that list.
Men like Mickey shouldn't be allowed to live.
Doesn't?
You must be nearly there now.
Do you mind if I ask you something, Mickey?
Have all the way from London.
You don't really wish him any harm, do you?
Harm? Mickey?
Do you?
Why do you ask?
You were so strange just then when you said he shouldn't be allowed to live.
I was thinking of a civilization where all the Mickey Danvers were strangled at birth before they could do any damage.
Well, you're never cruel to me. I'm not really.
He wasn't cruel in the sense you mean it to me either. question to how she feels.
Iris?
Iris. About our accepting his invitation tonight. I'll bet you she hates us.
Oh.
Because we knew him first. Everything that Mickey is, she can blame onto us. Just as everything he was, I blamed onto you.
Me?
You.
I used to blame his mother.
I could have made something of him.
I never got that far, love. He's always too busy making something, or trying to, of me.
Why do you like murder stories?
What?
The book.
Oh, that. Well,
What's the word? Escapologizing?
Escaping. So, I like the neat order of events. A situation leads to a murder, and a murder leads to detection and a courtroom. And to the death cell.
Not anymore. They don't hang them anymore, love.
I was thinking of fiction. In fiction, murderers can't be allowed to do anything else but hang.
Oh, I've got a couple of nice chocolate biscuits here. You sure you won't try one?
Drink, darling.
Thank you.
Mm. I'll get them.
Which one was the prettiest?
Bella.
Prettier than me?
Oh,
was she?
When you look like that, yes. Yeah. To us.
Thank you. I meant that this afternoon, Mickey.
Well, about leaving me.
Only I won't make it easy for you on second thought, the way the others did.
Oh, for heaven's sake, why not? I mean, if you're quite sure about it, why be unpleasant?
They couldn't have wanted any more from you than I did.
You make me sound like a miser.
Not with money, but with any part of you that means
oh,
anything.
Oh, come off it, dear.
We've all decorated your house during our little time here, haven't we?
I know what's got into you tonight. This whole thing just started as something to pass the time.
How dare you?
Now what?
You need them to help it pass.
No, let's not talk about it anymore. But after tonight, it'll be all over.
After tonight, my silly, woolen-headed darling, lots of things will be all over.
I don't like the way you said that.
Don't you?
No, I'm not ready to let you get free of me. I'm still in love with you.
You've never been in love. You never will be.
Well, speaking as a man with three marriages behind him, I'm two behind and the other in a kind of progress, I don't agree.
Marriage? You call this marriage? Oh, I think we have guests, Mickey. Will you answer the door, or shall I?
In what form can an act of military heroism be acknowledged? In one example, the form is a rectangular blue ribbon set in a gold-colored metal frame of laurel leaves, worn centered over the right breast pocket of the uniform. A bronze oak leaf cluster may be affixed to the ribbon for each subsequent award of the same decoration. This is the emblem of the Distinguished Unit Citation, awarded to units of our armed forces and those of our allies for extraordinary heroism in action against an armed enemy. One of America's newer military decorations, it is designated to recognize activity on or after December 7, 1941. The Distinguished Unit Campaign streamer is blue, with the name of the cited action embroidered in white. To be eligible for this citation, the degree of heroism required is the same as that which, in an individual, would warrant the presentation of our second highest award for valor, the Distinguished Service Cross. The Distinguished Unit emblem may be worn permanently by all those involved in the cited action, but for those individuals joining the unit later, the emblem may be worn only for the duration of their assignment. Both as individuals and as members of military units, America's servicemen have proved themselves worthy of medals and worthy of admiration by their countrymen.
Oh, my friend hasn't changed much, Mickey. Bit in on top now, bit of a pot. Otherwise, you don't look a day older.
Those charming sentiments, thank you.
I nearly said over when I got your note. Took me right back, it did.
And then on the station, I saw my successor, Miriam, pretended not to know her, just to see what happened. We shared the same compartment, didn't we, love?
Yes, Bella, we did.
I must say I find it hard to understand why either of you accepted Mickey's invitation.
I was curious.
And since I gave up dancing, I can't stop eating, so I never refuse an invitation to dinner.
Ah, Belle. Oh, I miss your frankness, even now.
And is there anything of me that you miss, Mickey?
No, a great deal, Miriam. If the Irish thinks that I dreamt up this idea of all of you meeting in Scarness, to show off.
Mickey, please.
Well, it is true, my dear, but you missed the point. Now, why shouldn't adult people in our position be able to meet and talk without rancor? Well, there were no children to complicate the issue.
Just as well, wouldn't you say?
Well, it won't be that as it may. I find this delightful. My three wives.
Your three wives would be able to put up with the nonsense you talk far more easily with a drink in their hands, Mickey.
Oh, yes, of course. I'm so sorry. Gin with lemon for Bella.
After all this time, thank you. Yeah.
And for Miriam, sherry dry. And a drink fit for an archdeacon's daughter.
Does he bore you, Iris?
Interminably.
And for Iris, any bottle at any time. Bella.
Thanks, love.
And Miriam.
Thank you.
And Iris.
Dear Mickey,
what shall we do to?
To Mickey.
Oh, dear, must we?
He almost drove me round the bend too, Iris. But don't worry, it stops the moment you're rid of him.
Let's drink to that. To being rid of Mickey.
What are you doing out here all alone, Miriam?
Wishing I hadn't come.
It's a nice night, isn't it? It's warm. Looks a little like rain. What's that for?
Funny. You think you can marry a man and not realize that a time will come when there's only the weather to talk about. Where are the others?
Oh, Bella and Iris have discovered a great deal in common.
Have they? I shouldn't have thought
that. But it was the air bottle.
Oh, yes, of course.
Miriam, I want to, look here, you don't hold any grudge, do you?
What are you getting at, Mickey?
Oh, just that, well, I don't know. I don't feel very clever tonight, that's all.
Wasn't this assembly to be your moment of triumph?
I've been thinking a lot lately. A man only has one life to live, and I seem to have made rather a botch of mine in one way or another. At least you, Mrs. Three, seem to think so.
Your life, me, you never did think about anything but yourself, Mickey. You never did.
Oh, please, you sound just like Iris.
Before we go inside, Mickey, I want to tell you one thing. In all this adult, let's be friends about the past and so on, I never did tell you that I hate the sight of you.
Oh, Miriam.
That's really why I accepted your invitation, so that I could tell you to your face.
I do believe I shouldn't have this one, but that's one of the benefits of being me. I can do that kind of thing.
Can't we all?
Not so easily. You see, when a man marries beneath him, marries someone like me, everyone expects him to make mistakes. They're all waiting for them, looking forward to them.
I'm not, Bella.
No, you're not. Think of courting me. Do you find him exciting? Romantic?
Very.
Same. Something that starts out so lovely to be such a bore. Because that's what he is. Well, I shouldn't say it, but he is. He looks like any other man, but there's nothing there, really. Just a shell.
You deserve another drink, Bella.
You're not angry, are you?
Not a bit. What man in his right mind, or with a mind, period, would want to come up with a scheme like this? Poor Mickey.
Rich Mickey, thank goodness.
He'll go on in just the same way, you know. His one claim to fame will be the number of his wives.
There might be any more?
There might be.
But what about us? Me and me?
I think I'll be joining your club very soon.
If it goes on like this, dear, there won't be enough to go round.
There'll always be enough. With every breath, Mickey's gilt-edged estate multiplies. It'd multiply even if it didn't take another breath.
I will have another drink. Can you join me?
Thank you. are what you're doing. Those two. Miriam and Mickey, the Archdeacon's daughter and the dullest man in England. I can't imagine.
Oh, Miriam, you don't mean that. I mean, you can't hate me. Not really.
But I do.
Why?
My life finished the day you married me, Nicky. My father had such plans for me. The university, a degree, devoting my life to something useful.
Well, hang it all, old girl. You could have gone back to your studies.
No, Nicky, I couldn't. I live in a kind of vacuum now.
Well, vacuums have gone up in rent, that's all I can say.
Oh, I'm grateful for the apartment. I'm grateful for the money. But apart from my monthly bank statement, I get no letters. I have no friends.
Ah, well, you can't blame me for that. After all, it's been quite a few years now. You've had lots of time to do anything you wanted.
All the time, and none of the inclination. You see, having defied my father and married you, then that marriage had to be perfect to make up for his death.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
I often speak with him, Nicky.
You what?
At seances. I expected you to laugh. But I wonder if you'll go on laughing when I tell you what he said the last time.
No, tell me, I can't wait.
He said you'd invite me down here and that I'd kill you, Mickey. Shall we go back inside?
What did you do to him, Miriam, to cause that?
Frightened him, I think. Oh, you mustn't do things like that. Not you, Anne.
All right, you two, you think you're very clever, don't you? A whole lot of you laughing your heads off at poor, stupid Nicky Dandridge.
Perhaps you'd better go and lie down, dear.
Shut up, Iris, shut up.
Manners.
Anything you know, I taught you better.
Well, I must say.
I suppose you two put Miriam up to it.
Up to what?
She just threatened to kill me. How do you like that?
Miriam, dear? I'm sure she was joking, weren't you, Miriam?
I wasn't joking when I cut the telephone wires. That's why I was outside, Mickey.
You what? You, I don't believe it. It's dead.
She sounded strange in the train. I thought it was because of the book she was reading. Making a morbid night.
Miriam, what's wrong?
Leave me alone.
She's crazy. She's neurotic. Talking a lot of rubbish about seances and speaking with her dead father.
It's not such a bad idea, is that?
What isn't?
I shouldn't really mind if Miriam got away with it.
Oh, you mustn't talk like that. It's not decent.
I know. And you can't just kill a fool for being a fool.
Iris!
So, I'm afraid it's no go, Miriam. Sorry.
Outvoted. You, Bella?
Look at him. All white and pasty face. I think you've frightened him enough.
What is this? Is it some kind of stunt you three have cooked up?
No, Mickey. But standing there knowing that there's three of us and the village is 2 miles away, you do look scared. What's wrong? After all, we're only women. Don't tell me Mickey Danvers is thrown out of his stride because of three women.
Look, you're crazy. All of you.
Really go into that spiritual stuff, Miriam?
Yes, I do.
I've been thinking of taking it up myself.
You said it would rain, Mickey. He did say so, Iris.
Be a wet trip back to the station.
I think you'd better stay the night, both of you.
No. Now, wait a minute, Iris. This has gone beyond a joke.
Don't worry, Mickey, darling. It's only a storm.
Miriam, this isn't you. It can't be. I've never seen you like this.
It's not even a question of looking after the goose that lays the golden egg, Mickey. Is it, Iris?
I told them that your will made provision for us all, dear.
Iris says we can get more.
My father said that at the seance, too. By morning, the storm had gone. And so had poor Mickey.
There wasn't a mark on him. Just died in his sleep, they said. He looked so peaceful.
three of us living together in Scarnes Cottage. We do get along so well. I've even changed reading when I'm not going to Miriam and Iris. And I was reading that novel that Miriam brought with her on the train. Did you know that just recently they've discovered a poison that doesn't show, inside or out? Funny, the things you read in books, isn't it?
From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli is an exciting beginning to a stirring song. It is an historic salutation to the efforts of a valiant group of fighting men. Why is their history glorious? What spurred them on? Patriotism and desire for excitement are sometimes given for reasons, but these are not the answers. The answer is, these were men of vision, men who understood our country's needs. Respect, honor, and prestige are things that go hand in hand with a country's greatness. Major Smedley D. Butler recognized this in the year 1915. At that time, our diplomatic negotiations with Haiti were disrupted by Caco bandits who perilously affected the lives of some United States citizens in Haiti. A contingent of Marines, under the command of Major Butler, was sent in to bring the bandits under control. Though they were holed up in Fort Liberty, Major Butler found an opening in the wall and led a terrifying charge through the breach that resulted in very dangerous hand-to-hand combat for himself and his men. Amid a furious onslaught of Cocker bandits and a hail of enemy bullets, Major Butler succeeded in overcoming the resistance and creating a peaceful atmosphere. His grateful country awarded him the Medal of Honor for bravery, forceful leadership, and action above and beyond the call of duty, the second time he was awarded this high honor. Major Smedley Butler had a code of conduct born of years of devotion and service to the United States of America.
Be listening to another mounting drama of action and suspense when we again bring you the 11th hour.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.